Okay, so as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Yesterday we began a new siman. Siman Kuf Nun on page 60. Talking about the interesting halachas of a shul. So as we saw in the Machaber yesterday, Kofim Bnei Ha'ir Zeh Ezeh Livnos Beis HaKnesses, that we could force one citizen, citizens of the community could force others to build a shul, even if those who want the shul are the minority, which is unusual. That shows you the importance of having a shul. Livnos Lam Sefer Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim, next page. And to buy for themselves Torah, Nevi'im, and Uksuvim. Before we get into that, the very interesting Ber Halacha, Myron, you should listen to this Ber Halacha. The Ber Halacha says that you should not have a non-Jew build a shul.
No, you don't.
I think I'm only telling you that. But we have a Jew building. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was a factor. It was a factor. And he says, especially the part right next to the Arum, you should only have Jews build. He says, however, if you need the roof fixed or something like that, you know, something fixed, so then a non-Jew could do that. There's a very interesting idea by this week's Parsha. How do you like that? This week's Parshios. Are Tazria Mitzor, and you know in the second parsha, in Mitzora, it talks about Tzaraas. And it talks about, maybe in the first parsha, talks about, one of the things it talks about is Tzaraas of a house. So, there's a famous, different angles on Tzaraas of a house. One is, it's bad news. The other one is Chazal bring down that it was good news because there was gold and silver hidden inside the walls, so, but the Pella Yoetz brings down that one of the ideas of Tzaraas of a house is so that the Jew would tear down the house so that it would be built by a Jew. There's something to that, that a Jew, has the proper kavanas and whatever it is when they build something. So, again, that's the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Birkei Yosef here on that halach about a shul. Also, interesting to note, there is a lengthy Mishnah Brura on this idea of building a shul. The Chofetz Chaim first points out that at least if they can't build a shul, they have to rent a place that's miyuchad for tefillah, that's specifically for davening. Then the Chofetz Chaim goes on to a long discussion, which obviously I don't want to get into, because it's not pertinent, that how do we charge for the buying of the building or the rental? How do we charge? Does it go by income? Does it go about units in the family? Okay, that's an old question. We have a lot about that, like by moschitim and other things. We have stuff like that. but then the Chofetz Chaim brings down the Magen Avraham from Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. About what happens if we're talking about building a shul, how about if you want to have split offs? So there's a shul, and some people say, the shul's too big, the shul's to this, the shul's to that, you want to make another shul. So there's a very lengthy Mishnah Brura, the Chofetz Chaim talks about this at length, whether it's the right thing to do or not. Obviously, the idea of not is Rovam Hadras Melech because you can't have the balkanization. We see that in certain communities, the balkanization of a community where there's little, and then nothing happens in the community. I don't like to get into stories, but years ago when I lived in Rosh Yeshiva's house, I could talk about, some Talmim of the Yeshiva called, before the Yeshiva moved to Kew Garden Hills. So they wanted to, there was a bunch of alumni living in Kew Garden Hills, they wanted to make their own minyan. Well, make a Chofetz Chaim minyan. So they called the Rosh Yeshiva and asked if it would be okay. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, definitely not. Can't do it. And, that was one of the advantages of living in a house. So, anything in the open, especially if you had big ears. So I asked the Rosh Yeshiva, why not? I thought it would be a nice thing. So he said, no. He said, you see in a lot of communities, is to make this little shul, that little shul, and there's a bunch of little shuls. And then if somebody does something wrong, the Rabbanim can't do anything because, let's say, Rabbi A, the guy's in Rabbi A's shul. So he says, you know, you're not going to get on Leah. And the guy says, oh, fine. And he goes next door, pots down $1,000, and he's getting shlishi, right? So then nothing can be done. So obviously, that's exactly the shaila in Beis, and that's why I believe it's such a long list of brua. Because there's it's a difficult balance. Because sometimes there's a need. So that trade-off is very difficult to decipher. Now, again, we said we also obligate people to buy Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So the Chavetz Chaim says the reason why we obligate people to do that is so that people could learn from it, so people could read from it. So the Chavetz Chaim says that was specifically in those days. Because in those days, what you had is Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. But he says now, the community is not just obligated by that, they're also obligated to buy Gemaras and their Perushim, because again, the idea is so that people could learn. That's the idea. We obligate people to build a shul, we obligate people that there be sources so people could learn. So therefore, you have to buy those things too. And then the Chavetz Chaim says, that's all if there's the shul is the main place for people to learn, and there's not so many svarim. Again, I always tell people, you know, you have to think outside your existence. You know, like, even before World War II, you know, to have a Gemara. People. Now, you know, a lot of houses you go to, they have four shots in, different, you know, volumes, you know, this and that. You know, like, we're very jaundiced, you know. People have, like, how many sigurim do people have? You know, like, just one family, you know, art scroll this, art scroll that, art scroll this, leather bound, not leather bound, this, you know, like it's amazing. I mean, can I hear it? But, you know, we are totally divorced from the way it used to be for most of history, where people didn't have svarim. So the Chavetz Chaim says, but now that people have svarim, a little more found, so then we don't force, we're not kofet. We don't coerce people. Again, the underpinning of this halacha is we could coerce people to do certain things, like build a shul and make sure there's svarim in that shul. So the Chavetz Chaim says, since there's a svarim around, so now that aspect of the halacha, we would not coerce people. Obviously, it's nice, you know, people donate svarim, you know, as we all know.
Forcing would be,
but the forcing aspect the would
method,
not be
the
there.
Would be
no? Or, you know, like we would withhold Leah's or, you know, like whatever it is. Not sell their comments. Okay, anyways, let's just do base. Well, base is long, but let's go through it a little bit. Very interesting, Allah. Ein bonim beis haknesses ela begova shel ir. Supposed to build, again, in these type of halachas, look, this is the Mechaber, and remember where the Mechaber came from, where the Rama was coming from. It's very interesting. So you only build, I mean, this is a Gemara. You have, the Chazal say, you build the shul in the highest point of the city. The shul is supposed to be umagbin oso ad shehei gavua mikol batei ha'ir, shetashmisham lahem. And the shul has to be higher than any other of the buildings, the houses in the city, as they are used. What does that mean? Lafuke, as opposed to barnios or migdolim she'emish tamshim lahem. That as opposed to, like, if you have towers, right? You might have a tower. So the shul doesn't have to be higher than the tower. You can have a tower, maybe, you know, for radio transmission or something. You say, well, you know, we're going to have to build the shul like, I don't know, like baseball. But, you know, so that when we figure out that the shul has to be taller and we look around at the landscape, so we're talking about usable space. We're not talking about if you have a tower or something like that. That height does not count. The God should...
Who wrote that?
Muhammad. It's a Shohana. It's a halal. I mean, it's a halal.
So where was he living?
Let's hold on. The God should who mushba ve'eno roi le'tashmish v'shayin ad makom shu roi le'tashmish. Let's say there's a slanted roof, right? Obviously for rain or whatever. So we figure out the height of that roof from the usable part of the roof. Dahainu she'im yesh aliyah tachas hagag. For example, there's an attic. Lo teigo vo yosem beis hakneset. So that attic, or that house, should not be taller than the shul. Now the Ramah says, look at this Ramah. The Ramah says v'shas hagag, if there's a pressing situation, or she'yesh mitzvas machus she'enu rishon livnos beis hakneset kedino. Or if there's a zoning law. He doesn't say zoning, but there's a rule of the government, obviously the secular government, that you can't build a shul like this, right? You can't go two stories, you can't go whatever, you know, whatever it is, or the neighbors complain and all that type of stuff.
How did you know that?
No clue. Shadarn ba'al. Okay, so mutter. So then you could build the shul that way. Lisbala babayis. Now think about this. If you can't build something higher than the shul, so then how about a shtibel? Right? The shtibel literally means no, not only that. That somebody's living a lot in other locales when there's a shtibel. The shul's downstairs, and somebody's living upstairs. So okay, there, we'll get to it later. Meretz Hashem, you'll see in Kufnon Al that could you live on top of the Aron Kodesh? Okay, leaving all that aside, but how can you even have that? You can't be living upstairs because you're not supposed to be higher than the shul in my house. You know, whoever it may be, it could be the Rav or whoever it is. You know, is living upstairs. How could it be? So the Ramah says. Even though there's somebody upstairs, so as he says, as we're going to see later in Kufnon Alf, the people who are upstairs have to act very properly, very carefully when they live upstairs. But again, that's an interesting concept. So again, you see the Machaber doesn't talk about it. But obviously, even in the Ramah's time, there was such an idea of a shtibel or people living upstairs. So again, based upon the halacha we just learned, there's not supposed to be anything higher than the shul. But how could it be? Answer is, the Ramah says it's okay. So Meretz Hashem Bli Nether, we'll talk about this a little more tomorrow, Bli Nether. About the batteries.